From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Last hour of our program tonight, it's called The Witch Case. John Zaffis joins us, paranormal investigator. Here's what's happening. The South Korean court has convicted a disgraced cloning scientist of embezzlement over his stem cell research. Now, he was given a two-year sentence. It was suspended for 3 years. The 56-year-old scientist's work had raised hopes of finding cures for diseases such as Alzheimer's, but his research was declared bogus in 2005, and he was put on trial the following year for embezzlement and accepting money under false pretenses. His research made him a South Korean hero until the revelations that it was false. It shocked the nation. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission, they have issued a joint warning letter to websites marketing fraudulent supplements that claim to help prevent the spread of the 2009 H1N1 influenza virus. The warning letters are the first to be issued jointly by the agencies, which advises marketeers that they must discontinue the fraudulent marketing of their product or face legal action. FDA officials said that so far 80% of the manufacturers contacted have voluntarily changed the wording of the sales pitches for flu-related products. A couple of things to look out for, they say. A photon machine that claims to clean the air with energy waves while helping to boost your immune system. Swine flu masks, which medical experts say can't prevent you from getting the virus, only from spreading it. There is also a protective shampoo that is being marketed to help your body fend off the H1N1 virus, which health officials also say doesn't work. If you spot something suspicious that is being sold, they say, to promote the fighting of H1N1 virus, they say get in touch with the FDA. Now, though I applaud the agencies for looking at these scammers, they should also look deep within themselves, such as products as aspartame, approved under very questionable tactics many years ago. And one of the simple things, too, by the way, alternative medicine, there are good products out there to help boost your immune system. So do your own research. It is a myth, they say, that women have different heart attack symptoms than men, according to Canadian researchers. A study presented at the Canadian Cardiovascular Congress found no gender differences in symptoms after studying 305 patients undergoing angioplasty. They say it is commonly held belief that men and women feel the effects of a heart attack differently. Dr. Beth Abramson of Canada's Heart and Stroke Foundation said heart disease is an equal opportunities killer. In 2003, a study by the U.S. National Institutes of Health did suggest that many women never had chest pains and that their symptoms were just not as predictable as men. Kristen Wild, author of Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair and Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke, on the line with us now. Kristen, you know, you've known all along that men and women have similar heart problems. They just didn't have symptoms that popped up all the time that were the same, huh?
That's right. And I don't know that this study, I mean, this study flies in the face of probably 200 or 300 studies prior to this time that do say women have different symptoms and not necessarily chest pain. And, you know, there's going to be 233,000 women dying this year of heart disease. And a woman is twice as likely to die from heart attacks as a man. And there is so much that is out there right now, and thankfully women and families are becoming very much aware of it. When I say families, is because women have the responsibility of taking care of the children, making the dinners, running the carpools, helping the kids with the homework. They've got so much on their mind that they really don't have time to sit and dwell on the symptoms they may be displaying. It reminds me of that song, was it Carly Simon said, "Haven't got time for the pain," years ago. And Anika Goldberg, who's the director of New York University, has said publicly many times that if the pain lasts more than a few minutes, seek help. Women don't do that. They generally wait 2 to 4 hours compared to a man. Like if you or I were to be describing some symptoms that could possibly be a heart attack, your wife would have a paramedic knocking on your door within a few minutes.
Absolutely. And you've got to go quickly.
You've got to go. You don't have the time, George, and you got one chance. And so it's something you really don't want to gamble on. I think husbands and certainly other family members should be aware if your mother or your wife, and here's a good point, many of the women, when they interview them after a heart attack, will say that they were experiencing certain symptoms a week or perhaps a month before. They overlook those things. As I said, they're busy doing their chores.
What's new with the newsletter, Christian?
Well, this one, of course, is all on turmeric and how it affects cancer. As a matter of fact, the American Cancer Society just announced last month that this year of 2010, cancer will overtake heart disease as the number one killer of people worldwide. And so I've concentrated on cancer scientifically, on how turmeric works to prevent it and to be used in treatment and even along with chemotherapy. So there's a lot of information, in particularly in this particular issue.
Christian Weil's website, myheartbook.com. There is a toll-free phone number for his newsletter. It's 866. That's toll-free, 1-866-STEM-123. He does incredible work. Very tragic day in the Middle East. Helicopter crashes killed 14 Americans on Monday in the deadliest day in the U.S. mission in Afghanistan in more than 4 years. The death came as President Barack Obama meets with national security teams for a full-scale conference on the future of that troubled war. And the death toll from twin car bombings in Baghdad, Iraq, climbed to 160, with hundreds more wounded in the deadliest attack in the capital in more than 2 years. At least 540 people were wounded in Sunday's attacks. In Palm Beach, Florida, an autopsy was planned for a man accused of making more than $7 billion off the investment schemes of jailed financial manager Bernie Madoff. Jeffrey Pickauer was found by his wife at the bottom of a pool at the couple's Oceanside Palm Beach mansion. He died a short time later at a nearby hospital. The 67-year-old was number 371 on the Forbes 400 list of the wealthiest Americans with a net worth of $1 billion. Now, on the heels of that, just a few months ago, the head of one of the Rockefeller foundations, he died under what they say could have been suicide. Sad story to report tonight from Kansas City, Missouri. 34-year-old Mac Tonies, UFO author and investigator, was found dead in his apartment of apparent natural causes on Thursday. Mac was just on with me for a full show just a few weeks ago. Mac, we get so many different theories about the origin of ETs and extraterrestrials, whatever they may be. You know, we hear that they could be coming from other planetary systems, from other dimensions, from within this planet, that their government, military, it's a hoax. What do you prescribe to?
Well, I think it's a combination of almost all those things overall. Most UFOs are, I believe, probably IFOs, but I think there does remain a core phenomenon that that warrants very rigorous interest. And those are the ones that I'm interested in, and those are the ones that I think most UFO researchers are interested in.
Just a great investigator, Mac, dead at the age of 34. His new book was about ready to be published. He will be missed by all of us here at Coast to Coast, and, of course, that includes you. Sometime in the next few weeks, we'll have a longer excerpt, perhaps even a full hour, on Mac's appearance on Coast to Coast. Very tragic story there. In Latvia, scientists investigating a large crater initially believed to have been caused by a meteorite said a closer analysis revealed it was a hoax. This thing is 27 feet wide. Experts thought that a meteorite-like object had crashed there. They were all over the place, but now they're saying it's artificial, probably dug by a shovel. Well, there could be two expeditions to the Titanic. One, the company that has exclusive rights to salvage the Titanic, is planning a possible expedition of the world's most famous shipwreck in 2010. The first expedition to the North Atlantic wrecked this site since 2004 is revealed in a filing by RMS Titanic, a U.S. district court, where 4 days of hearings are scheduled to begin on Monday on the company's claim for a salvage award. The lawyers for the company confirmed the expedition plans, but declined to discuss them in detail. Already, they have picked up about $110 million worth of pieces from the Titanic over time. The Titanic sank on its maiden voyage on the international waters April 15, 1912. And another mission, one of which Dr. Charles Pellegrino, former Coast to Coast guest, may go on.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I, at least three times I've said, no, I'm through with it. I'm never going back out there again. And everyone who has said they will never go back to the Titanic, beginning with Bob Ballard, we always do. There's something about her that just keeps drawing us back. And so it's planned for 2010, maybe 2011, but probably 2010, an expedition to go into the Titanic with a whole new generation of robots that will penetrate into areas we haven't even seen yet.
And what are you looking for?
Well, my main interest over the years has come, there are people who look like Ken Marshall and Don Lynch who look at all the history and the architecture inside the ship. I started out looking at things like shock cocoon events and how the ship broke up and how it hit the bottom. But along the way, I was attracted more and more to the biology. We see things down there that there's just so much wildlife down there that is completely strange. We don't know why some of these organisms are using very bright strobe-like lights. And in fact, one day we saw something approaching the submersible that was every bit as bright as our submersible's lights. And at first we thought it was the other submersible, but nope, that was halfway to the surface. It was over a mile above us at that time. Evidently, we do see animals down there where we didn't expect to see so many animals that have eyes. And evidently, there are animals down there like these flashing milk duds or this very large, bright thing that stun a lot of the local wildlife and will just reach out and pick up what they have stunned. And we get hints of that because we see animals that get stunned in our own submersibles, flood lamps down on the bottom.
Fascinating down under there. Ooh, creatures with eyes. Two major expeditions down there to discover more on the Titanic. Paranormal Activity has won a weekend battle of fright films over Part 6 of the Saw franchise. Paramount's upstart chiller, Paranormal Activity, went into nationwide release and took over the number one spot with $22 million. So far, it's pulled in $62.5 million. The low-budget movie was shot for a reported $15,000, but has become a horror sensation because of the online fan buzz. The fictional movie unfolds like a homemade documentary as a couple copes with apparitions and supernatural phenomena in their home.
High def camera on. My girlfriend Katie, she thinks there's something in the house. I don't know.
You believe me, right?
I think we're going to have a very interesting time capturing whatever paranormal phenomena is occurring or is not occurring.
Paranormal Activity, strong shot at topping $100 million. And in Great Britain, Britain's most haunted village has canceled Halloween after becoming fed up of being invaded by hundreds of ghost-hunting revelers. The village is said to have at least 12 ghosts, including a highwayman, phantom monk, the hanging body of a schoolmaster, and a poltergeist. They're just fed up with so many people coming into their little town. By the way, over Halloween on Friday and Saturday, special programs for you here on Coast to Coast. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on in the week, so get ready to get scared. Up next, Stephen Weiss joins us. The signs of success. He uses astrology to decide what you want. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. What do you think about using astrology to understand cultural phenomena, trends, and then turn it into a business? Well, Stephen Weiss, president of Straightforward Communications, which happens to be a marketing and research consultancy company specializing in the area of consumer trends. Now, his ability to identify mass market values and their commercial applications has made Stephen a very favorite of many household name clients. We'll talk about some of them a little bit later on Coast to Coast. This should be a fascinating show on Coast to Coast. Stephen, how are you?
Oh, George, what a privilege to be with you and your audience on Coast to Coast. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I just love what you do. How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it as an avocation for 40 years. I've been doing it for the world to see for a lot shorter than that, but that's part of the dues, I think, for being taken seriously in the world of business.
Now, you didn't start down the path of astrology in the beginning, did you?
You know, George, you have such wonderful guests. They're so accomplished and they're so brilliant, and they all have great stories about how they stumbled into their or they pursued their area of expertise. And I could tell you with 50% truth that as an undergraduate in college, I became fascinated by Greek and Roman mythology, and it was not too large a step from that to an interest in astrology. But I want to be honest with you. I got into it because there was an attractive young lady in my college who was into astrology. So I got into astrology.
Good move.
I think that's the most honest thing anyone's ever said to you.
So as Robert Frost once wrote, two roads diverged in a yellow woods. You took that path, didn't you?
Yeah, the relationship didn't go too far, but she gave me three books that I would recommend to anyone who is starting out in astrology. Linda Goodman's Sun Signs, which is the gateway to many people's interest in astrology, the late, great Linda Goodman. And then the second book she gave me was a book called Astrology for Adults. And the interesting thing about that book was written by Joan Quigley. And if that name is at all familiar to you, when Don Regan spilled the beans on the Reagan White House,
yeah,
and the fact that Nancy and Ron were apparently using astrology, Joan Quigley was their astrologer. And I wanted to, when this came out, I wanted to tell everyone, oh, don't worry, she's an excellent astrologer. She's not doing any harm.
give me a quick list of the major corporations that have tapped into your ability.
You can imagine how discreet I have to be about this. I'm happy to say I just did a project for Domino's. I'll get to that in a second. But I will say that one example that fascinates me, and this is not something that I did, although I wish I had. Allstate Auto Insurance about 3 years ago came out with a very interesting study, and this has been done by other insurance companies in other parts of the world, where they divided their drivers on the basis of their astrological signs, and they publicized this, and they certainly, you know, put it out as a you know, isn't this charming, you know, isn't this sort of cute, it's just a way of engaging you in a friendly manner, but there's hardly anyone who doesn't think, wow, I bet they charge more higher to Virgos than they do to Capricorns on the basis of their insurance claims.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, George.
No, go ahead.
No, so there are so many apocryphal things, but there are quite a few, you know, things out in the open. Many of them not in this continent. It's a much more astrology is much more widely accepted in other parts of the world, which is why I think I got to write a book about it. By the way, is that American businesses at least have come to the appreciation that working in a global business culture, there are a lot of cultures that use things like astrology in business. So you better know your opponents or in the case of your allies' apparatus, the techniques and the means they use to conduct business.
Well, see, with all the money that these corporations spend on marketing research, in order for them to even decide and consider astrology, what kind of person at that company says, hey, let's try this? That's different.
Yeah, I mean, they're all in marketing, by the way. But the truth is, a perfect example is a gentleman who was kind enough to endorse Signs of Success. His name is Kenny Moore. He's the author of a book called The CEO and the Monk that is a very interesting read. And he is the human resources director at Keyspan Corporation, a big energy company on the East Coast. And he is one of the most open-minded individuals, you know, that I've ever met. And he's running an HR department, and he does everything that one might expect of a modern, you know, HR department in terms of 360 feedback and all of the very, you know, and all of the personality profiling tests and all the things that are accepted. by business. But he admits, and he's written articles, so I'm not telling tales out of school. He's published articles that when everything else fails, he reads people their horoscopes. and his point about the horoscopes is that people feel they're allowed to laugh at this stuff. It's okay to take it with a grain of salt. It's okay not to be threatened by it. And he finds that he gets very good interaction and very good feedback when he introduces this.
Lots more to talk with you, Stephen, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And our special guest tonight, Stephen Weiss, The Signs of Success. Hey, by the way, are you a subscriber to Streamlink yet? Well, you can. You pick up now 3 years of archives of past programs, podcasting, and it's just really convenient, and it's just pennies a day. How do you find out about Streamlink? Well, you simply go to coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're with Stephen Weiss tonight. We're talking about astrology. Well, sort of, aren't we, Stephen?
Yeah, sort of.
Business astrology, which you, of course, are an expert. You published a book, Signs of Success, through American Management Association, through their publishing arm. How did you convince them to do this? I'm glad you did, but how did you pull it off?
It's a good question. I think there are two parts to that. And the first, I think I alluded to in the earlier segment, that this global economy that, for better or for worse, love it or hate it, that we're now certainly all enmeshed in, there are important trading partners in the world. India and China, in particular, come to mind, where the existence of astrology as part of the culture is not considered to be a phenomenon that's a career killer or something that you bury. And not just in India, where it's a vested part of, you know, Vedic traditions, and China, where it's existed for millennia, but in other parts of the world, Europe and South America come to mind. It's not that the intellectuals or the leaders of these cultures endorse astrology. On the contrary, you'll find the same kind of, you know, poo-pooing of astrology done by academicians and smart people in these places. But the general population, they're all into it. England is a perfect example where everybody knows their astrological sign and reads the column and then says, "Oh no, I don't believe in it."
My producer Lisa kept calling me last week, going, "What time were you born? What time were you born?" And I'm going, "What do you care for?" Well, now I know now.
Okay, we can get into that a little bit later. Answering your question, though. So one thing was that the global existence of astrology. The second, and I think even more important and more fascinating, and an issue that we're all going to confront here in the next few years is we've just gone for most of us, from the mid-80s to the present time, we've lived in this era of computerization. The business world is mad for metrics and quantification and categorization and data analysis because the computer has given us this ability to quantify everything. And we've been doing that enthusiastically, and we'll continue to do so for the foreseeable future. However, you're just starting to see in reputable journals such as the Harvard Business Review and in the business magazines that maybe this isn't paving the way to heaven, just the quantification of data. And now I think we're finding a little bit of the right brain approach to business coming back into the discussion, where things that are creative and associative and imaginative are not necessarily evil. They may actually have a role in business life as well as our private pursuits. And I argued that, or I made that case to the American Management Association that this pendulum seems to be swinging back a little bit towards this, for want of a better term, right brain understanding of the way things are.
Stephen, give me an example of you dealing with a company. Company X has a product. They probably have many. But mm-hmm. has a product. How do you use astrology? I guess the bottom line is you try to help increase sales, right? But how do you use astrology to make it work?
If I may, and you know, cut me off if I go on here. But I think there are three ways that astrology is relevant to a business endeavor. The first and the most obvious is timing, and this is where you get into your biggest arguments about astrology in general, because this is the alchemy of astrology. And I'm more of a fellow traveler than a card carrier, and to time things. And this is what all of the there's a big industry, as you doubtless are aware, in stock market analysts who mm-hmm. use astrology to make their picks. And these are people who are being very, very precise about, you know, when gold is going to go up, when gold is going to go down, what are the turns in the stock market. They also, there's a field of astrology called astrocartography that not only tells, so you can not only know when something's going to happen, but where it's going to happen. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. I wouldn't denigrate it for a second. However, timing, which is really what so many people want to do. When should I open my business? When should I make the new hire? When should I do the product launch? When should I do this? Astrology will give answers, but these are very hard answers to calculate, because astrology is basically a language, and it's also a clock. And when you really look at the clock that astrology is, every one of the planets figures in. All the dwarf planets figure in. The asteroids figure in. The fixed stars. I have one friend, a very, very fine astrologer by the name of Philip Sedgwick. Everything that's in the entire universe, he wants to make an astrological notation of. Well, that's just impossible.
Yeah.
To my way of thinking, there's no way you can reduce this to a scientific validity. However, that is definitely one of the ways to go. Some people have a talent for this. And so it's possible to answer the question, should I open this unit on Thursday or on Saturday? I've done that kind of work for people with some strange and frequently accurate results, where you tell people this is a bad time to open or this is a good time to open. And so that's one business
okay.
aspect. The second aspect I call team building. Astrology hasn't always been a psychological tool. Most people who are into astrology like to read about themselves, like to know about, you know, the qualities. They have Mercury in Taurus, and that means they like, you know, luxury items. I mean, that's a very simplistic way of putting Mercury
yeah,
in Taurus. But most people like astrology for its psychological overview. This has only existed since about the time of the great astrologer Carl Jung. And what's interesting vis-a-vis business is that the Jungian approach to psychology spawned some of the great psychological profiling tools that business use to this day, like the Briggs-Myers profiling test. Well, at the same time that Jung was spawning this kind of psychological analysis, astrologers, contemporaneous astrologers, were doing the exact same thing the psychological profilers were with astrology.
And also with this team building concept, does everybody have to be behind it in this company?
Well, here's a company that I can't mention, but here's what I did. I made the argument. I do generational analysis and demographic analysis that has nothing to do with astrology. But the president of this company was interested in astrology, and I said, you know, we could do an astrological overlay over the demographic analysis. And by this I meant, since this CEO had the birth dates of the 400 people who worked in the company, I was able to get a fairly good computer, you know, reading on which signs predominated in this culture, you know.
Interesting.
And as a result, using that as another, all of this is, George, all of this astrology is, from my way of speaking, I don't speak for all astrologers, I speak for me, it's brilliant storytelling, it's associative storytelling, and I never would tell you that it's scientific, but I would tell you it's as valuable as music or art or poetry. It's just another way in, and sometimes it clicks. It doesn't always click, but frequently it does. And you see people such as the CEO of this company. She got it immediately.
Yeah.
She understood exactly. And I was able to tell her that based on the astrological, based on the demographic, you know, the generational analysis of her company and the astrological analysis, here were ways that she could motivate her staff. Here were things that she probably shouldn't do. It worked out very nicely.
And the last area was what you call trends and demography.
Yeah,
right?
And that's the area that I love the most. The trends and demography, the basis of it, and this is what astrologers do. In other words, everyone is familiar with their sun sign horoscopes. you know, from just reading the newspapers and
well, like I'm a Gemini.
Yeah,
so you're is that what you mean? Okay.
Yeah, and everyone knows their astrological sign, and that's about where it stops for most people, their interest in astrology. But there's another very basic way to look at astrology, and instead of looking at the sun or the planets that are close to the sun, which astrology identifies as the personal planets, so Mercury, Venus, Mars, the moon are considered, they'll tell you personal attributes, and they move very fast around the sun. You know, their periodicity in each of the signs of the zodiac is very quick. They're moving very quickly. This is not the case with the outer planets, starting with Jupiter, that takes 12 years to go around the sun, to Pluto, and we can argue about whether Pluto's a planet or not, but Pluto takes about 248 years to go around the sun. As a result, the outer planets spend anywhere from a year to sometimes, in the case of Pluto, which has an eccentric orbit, 30 years in a sign. Yes. And what astrologers do is they look at previous instances where one of these larger planets, each of which has its own, you know, component characteristics, they look for when it moves through a sign, and then they can get some sort of historical echoes related to what happened the last time this planet moved through one of these outer signs.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
We're talking about lengthy periods. I use Jupiter a lot in my work, and I've done all sorts of trend work. Sometimes I tell them it's astrology, sometimes I don't. But this 12-year cycle, because Jupiter spends 1 year in a sign, it's so neat. So you find these 12-year echoes of trends that, I'm giving this to everybody right now. You could go do it. You'll see that I'm right. Look up what happened 12 years ago, and the echoes, the cultural echoes are just amazing.
And explain what you mean by cultural echoes.
I'll give you a perfect example, although it's not my favorite because of the subject matter, but it's my favorite because of the power of it. I wanted to, in the book, demonstrate. I wanted to talk about this Jupiter cycle. I wanted to talk about this 12-year cycle. And I thought that I would do, and I just picked this blindly. I said, I was going to look at the period before the bombing of the towers in New York, 9/11, because my feeling was that this was a period that no one remembers. You know, the world changed that day, and the
right.
period right in front of 9/11, who remembers it?
That's a good point.
And I was going to take that period and show how that period corresponded 12 years earlier. So I go to the library to do some research with Business Week and some of the business periodicals. And I was looking at the magazine articles about 9/11. And then I went exactly 12 years earlier, where the planet Jupiter was at the exact same degree that it was during the bombing of the towers. It was I think it must have been a 1989 issue of, is that 12 years? Yeah, 1989 issue of Business Week. I open the cover of this magazine, and there's an advertisement on the very first page when you open that prominent advertising page. And it's a picture of a building that looks exactly like the World Trade Center, and it's on fire.
Oh.
This is 12 years earlier with to the exact degree date, and that spooked the heck out of me. I literally got chills because
yeah.
this is 12 years earlier. I turned the page. It was an article. It was an ad for an insurance company, by the way. I turned the page to the next page, and there's a little article on there has been an increase in the incidence of planes crashing into buildings. I turn the page again, and there's another article on, you know, dedicated to executives. Can you get out of a high-rise structure if there's an emergency such as a fire? Now, this is very vivid, and obviously I wouldn't have written about it if it wasn't entirely true.
Right.
And this has impact because of the nature of the event. And I beg the forgiveness for anyone who is, you know, troubled by the consideration of this. But I find these 12 years patterns in cigar smoking, in the popularity of jeans, in gourmet hamburgers. I mean, I can pick anything in the zeitgeist, and it's just remarkable how
Amazing.
Often there is an echo 12 years later of something that happened 12 years earlier.
And 12 years seems to be the moment then, right? The window?
Well, Jupiter represents in astrology. Jupiter represents good fortune, expansion, happiness, good luck. So I use the other planets too for a variety of important purposes. But Jupiter seems to indicate things that were very big in their moment. Things that often in terms of product and services, things that were popular for that moment and that become popular again.
Stephen, I don't know if you were old enough during the hula hoop craze when I was a kid.
You and I are about almost the exact same age, okay. But you bet.
Did that last 12 years? Because it truly was a craze.
There's no doubt
about that.
What we would expect, I guess what I'm trying to say is that those are the fads or crazes. They peak for a while, then they disappear. And then you find that 12 years later, they tend to cycle around again so that, you know, all of a sudden everybody in the culture is smoking cigars, and then you don't hear about it as much as you once did. And then suddenly 12 years later, everyone's into cigars again. And this isn't, you know, needless to say, this isn't, you know, 100% certain accurate, but I have found so much value in doing this kind of research. I blog, and I frequently blog about these trends that are coming back. I give you an example.
Sure.
I have the on my blog, which is blog.stephenmarkweiss.com. I looked at the fall trends, what I expect to be the trends in this season right now, and the big going into Christmas 12 years ago, the big toy, you know, the big thing that you were supposed to buy kids for Christmas was the Tamagotchi. Do you remember the Tamagotchi? The Tamagotchi was a virtual pet. It looked like a medallion.
It was like a. Okay.
But the thing about the Tamagotchi that drove everyone crazy was that the pet could die fairly easily, so you had to pay kind of constant attention to it. So at the time, there were lots of stories about parents and school teachers going nuts, because they were the greatest distraction of all time. Imagine that, a handheld electronic device that you were constantly paying attention to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, if that doesn't sound like the iPhone to you, I don't know what does.
People, when they go to restaurants, they're
yes.
carrying their iPhone with them. When they go into a movie theater, they carry their iPhone with them. I mean, they're all over the place now. It's become an appendage to their body.
Yes, yeah, clearly, and if we get to discuss generational stuff, clearly the world has changed. The electronics have changed it, and values change with each generation. And yes, the prevailing zeitgeist. Yes, you must be connected at all times to a data stream. I mean, I'm a little older. You're a little older, and we remember when reflection was valuable, when taking time to make a decision seemed to be a prudent thing to do. Now if you're missing a moment of data, you're off the board.
Here's an example: this movie, Paranormal Activity, cost about $15,000 to produce. They think it's going to pull in at least $100 billion.
Not a bad return.
One of the main things that pushed it was the way it was used on the internet, and that is generational, I think.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt about it. And I guess as I tried to indicate just a bit earlier that you know that's not going to answer all our problems. We're learning that right now, and if we discuss some of the generational aspects, we're going into a generation right now. We're coming into a time period right now that's going to challenge some of this constant data flow stuff.
We'll talk about some of the generational information next hour, Stephen, and also some other data, especially too. Years ago, you had another workout called Signs of Taste about astrology, and I want to talk with you about that next hour as well. Do you have fun doing what you're doing, Stephen?
I'm liberated, George, in the sense that I never thought, you know, the path, we talked about this earlier, I didn't choose the astrological path as a career path or something that I was going to be the primary focus of my life for so many reasons that any sane and prudent individual might understand. But now that I've reached a point where I'm embracing it, I'm having the best time in the world.
Good for you. And how do people get to your website? How do they find you?
Well, if anyone would be kind enough to be interested in my books, I would send them immediately to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com, which could handle a much greater flow than my website. But my website is Stephen Mark Weiss, and they can get the spelling certainly by visiting your website. It's StephenMarkWeiss.com.
And you're blogging now as well, right?
Yes.
Very good. Stephen, we'll be back with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast as we get into really the fun nitty-gritty part of astrology as well, including what's going on with generations, the signs of taste, trends in food, believe it or not. And then later on, we'll take your phone calls as well on Coast to Coast AM.